You are Locked On Heat, your daily Miami Heat podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
All right, welcome to Locked On Heat, a little bit of a different show for you today. David and I jumped on to Locked On Knicks with Locked On Knicks host Jared Dubin. Jared's been doing this thing where he brings on hosts of other Locked On podcast shows and tries to work out a Carmelo Anthony trade with them. And the idea is that every podcast ends in a deal, in an agreed deal. So David and I, we jumped on this afternoon with Jared, and we landed on an agreement to send Carmelo Anthony to the Miami Heat. So I think you guys will really enjoy this. We get into the nitty-gritty of negotiations. Basically spent an hour just trying to figure out a Carmelo Anthony trade that we both felt comfortable with enough to agree to. So this was fun. This is a little bit different, and hope you enjoy it. But first, before we get to that, just want to talk to you about SeatGeek. SeatGeek is the friendliest and smartest way to find tickets. It's never been easier to find tickets for those sporting events, concerts, plays that you want to go to. Get the SeatGeek app on your phone. I have it. It's by far the easiest way I've found to shop for tickets. I can be anywhere in just a few taps. I can instantly find seats for this weekend or any game this season. With SeatGeek, you always get the best deal on every ticket because they price compare for you. They take all the work out of it. You don't have to open up a million browser tabs. Just go to SeatGeek. Just download it on your phone. Go online and go on the website. They just do all the work. It's like having your own secretary find the best ticket deals. They also give you a grade based on value. You'll immediately see any underpriced seats and be able to find the best deals that fit your budget. Big green dots mean a good deal. Easy peasy. Plus, all their tickets are backed by their 100% guarantee, so you can shop for tickets with confidence. Our listeners get a $20 rebate off their first SeatGeek purchase. How do you do it? Download the SeatGeek app. Go to the settings tab in the top right. Click add a promo code. Enter the promo code LOHEAT. That's LOHEAT. SeatGeek will send you $20 after you've made your first ticket purchase. $20. Download the SeatGeek app, enter the promo code LOHEAT today. And without further ado, let's go to our podcast.
Hello and welcome to the Locked On Knicks podcast. This is episode 136. I am your host, Jared Dubin. Hope you all enjoyed the podcast from last week where we traded Carmelo Anthony to the Lakers. Like I said during that podcast, we're going to do some more of those, and we're just going to do it right now again today. Next up, we're trading Carmelo to the Heat. Here to help me do that and also to discuss our two teams as well, it's David Ramil and Wes Goldberg, co-hosts of Locked On Heat. Guys, thanks for doing this. I appreciate it.
Thanks for having us.
No problem. So how do you guys like Carmelo? You want him? Word is he's on the block. Phil Jackson said so. I will not be acting as Phil Jackson in this exercise, and I would prefer if you did not act as Pat Riley, because I'd like to stay on the phone with you for a little while. And if you were Pat Riley, I would hang up.
I don't think we could worse things than that. I don't think we could act like Pat Riley if we tried.
Does either of you have as horrible greasy slick hair as Pat Riley?
No, I don't have enough hair gel, nor is my classic convertible downstairs in my garage where I can immediately hop in as I drive around South Beach listening to either Bruce Springsteen or the Four Tops. So, no.
I can confirm that that does happen. I went to school in Miami. I was there for 4 years. That is not an uncommon sight.
Yeah. We are both Canes alums. So, yeah, I understand. We've seen that plenty of times.
I didn't know you were a Miami alum, too. What year were you, what years were you there?
I graduated in 03.
Oh, this is good radio. I didn't start until 05. So, Looks like we missed each other by a couple of years.
No worries. So
what I did last time when I did this with the Locked On Lakers guys was we sort of used a potential Carmelo trade as an avenue to discuss, you know, where the teams stand, what went on this season, what we expect from the future, what their goals should be. The Heat obviously had like maybe the most interesting season of any team in the league this year. So I'm curious, you know, what you guys, you know, are considering your goals going into this trade discussion. Is it, you know, we're using this as an avenue to get back toward the top of the East? Is it we're using this as an avenue to bring other guys in? What are you looking for here so I can sort of game out how we're going to, you know, go with these discussions?
Well, I think we have a two-pronged approach here. Number one is if we're trading for Carmelo Anthony, we're probably looking at the next 2 years to as a Eastern Conference run. So any ideas of building something long term probably goes out the window, and we're probably going to be keeping a core of Carmelo Anthony, Goran Dragic, and Hassan Whiteside. So we're not going to be trading Dragic or Whiteside in any kind of return that brings back Melo. It just doesn't make sense, right? You want to keep that window open, and that would be essentially the new big three. The second thing is to hopefully steal Willie Hernan Gomez from you, who's our real prize in this trade. So.
Oh, well, that's an interesting thing to know. Now I know I can hold out for more if you really want Billy. You know, I'll just be up front with you guys, very much like I was in the Lakers podcast. You know, I think that there should be three goals in any trade of a star player like Carmelo. You want to get salary cap relief, you want to get young players with potential, and you want to get draft picks. You know, especially if you're talking about including more than just Carmelo, I would like to accomplish, you know, potentially all three of those things. I know the Heat are working at a draft pick deficit. You know, we can talk about that as we go through. But ideally, I want to accomplish all three of those things. And if not, then I want to at least accomplish two of them. And what is
New York's status for draft picks over the next few years?
So the Knicks own all of their own first round picks. They owe out their next 5 second round picks all to the Sixers. But they have 2 second-round picks coming from Chicago and Houston this year. Okay. And then they have second-round picks coming from Cleveland and or Houston and or Orlando, the two least favorable of those in 2019. So they do have 4 second-round picks over the next 5 years, but none of them are their own, and all of them are in 2017 and 2019.
Okay.
But all of their own first-round picks they own, and nobody owes them any first-round picks.
And as we set the table here, the Heat have no picks incoming whatsoever. They don't have a second round pick that they can trade until the year 2022, which is not very valuable. And they can't trade any first round picks for the foreseeable future because they still owe 2 of them to Phoenix. And because of the Sepien rule, they cannot trade picks in the first round.
Right. They can't trade picks until 2023.
Right. But we can. What we can do is choose players for you in the draft and then make draft day type deals like
right
that.
This is the kind of thing where we could say, you know, we're gonna agree to this trade but not execute it until the new league year starts,
right?
If I want your first round pick this year in this deal, which I believe is number 14
so 16. Far unless we hit the no 14 unless we make it into the lottery,
right?
Or unless we go higher in the lottery. Yeah,
so you know, the guys you mentioned as being, you know, your quote-unquote untouchable guys in this deal are Goran Dragic and Hassan Whiteside. You know, obviously you're looking at it in terms of the guys under contract next year. Not a ton of high-ceiling guys beyond that. So for me, any deal that doesn't include Justice Winslow is probably going to be a non-starter. Is that something you guys are agreeable to?
We're willing to have a conversation with Winslow's name in it.
You're willing to have a conversation with his name in it. Okay. I'm not entirely sure what that means, but for the purposes of this podcast, since we are going to come to an agreement on the deal, you know, it's really not feasible to do a deal without him, because you look at it, he's one of only, I think, like, two guys other than the guys you mentioned that can actually be traded unless they, you know, specifically agree to accept their – unless Josh McRoberts, Deion Waiters, and or Willie Reed agree to pick up their player options. I mean, you can go with Josh Richardson, Rodney Magruder, or Okoro White as well, because they have non-guaranteed sums. And I'm assuming, you know, we'll all be picked up, and maybe Wayne Ellington as well. But,
well, Jared, I mean, if you really want to discuss, you know, including Justice in any trade, that's fine. But look, I mean, just from our perspective, you know, he's really not that well-developed a player. He's not much of a shooter. You know, there are still questions about his health and durability. He doesn't really fit in as far as any kind of position is concerned. So, I'm you know, that's fine if you're interested in him, if you're going to hinge any trade on including him. But to be quite honest with you, I just can't see from your perspective why you'd want him in any trade at all.
Yeah, you're right. I definitely don't want a versatile defender that can make some plays with the ball in his hands and is a good rebounder. And you know, the Knicks have never been good at defense, and I don't want to be good at defense ever. So I definitely don't want to bring in a guy like Justice Winslow.
It sounds like you like Winslow. What's your opinion on Josh Richardson and his ceiling?
I am a fan. I don't necessarily know if he's a starter. You know, I'm a little concerned that he wasn't quite as good this season as he was the year before, especially because the year before was a little bit of a small sample. I think he played whatever it was, like 39 games, something like that.
Yeah.
You know, so I guess it was 52 games, but you know, there's at this point as big of a sample of him being bad if there is of him being good. Mm-hmm. And you know, he actually played more minutes this year than he did the year before. So, you know, I am intrigued by a, you know, a 23-year-old combo guard who, you know, has a year track record of being a high level shooter and a decent at least playmaker, and then a year track record of not really being able to do either of those things at all, but at least is you know, in my mind, can play a little bit of defense as well. So I'm intrigued by him as well, and if you are willing to throw him into the deal, I am willing to accept him.
He's a lengthy defender. He tries really hard. You're right. He can handle the ball a little bit. His sophomore year was, you know, up and down because of so many injuries. He had a leg injury. He sprained his MCL in the preseason, or not even before the preseason, during training camp. He was out the entire preseason, out for the first several games of the regular season, and he was in and out for the rest of the year until the last couple weeks of the season, where he really started to come along. And we saw more of that rookie campaign, Josh Richardson, later. I know there's Heat fans that are higher on Josh Richardson than they are even of Justice Winslow. So, as far as Knicks players, are you mentioned cap relief. Are you trying to unload Joakim Noah, Courtney Lee? And is that essential in this deal? Or do you view cap relief as simply getting rid of Carmelo Anthony and getting smaller contracts in return?
I am willing to discuss anyone and everyone on the team with the exception of Kristaps Porzingis. And if you are willing to eat contracts, I am more than happy to give you some contracts to eat.
Okay.
Not surprised.
So,
yeah, I view it basically as, you know, if we're going to be trading Carmelo, in all likelihood, we are not going to be very good for the next couple of years. And that means that guys like Lance Thomas and Courtney Lee, that I think are, you know, good role players, but are considerably more valuable when they're on good teams, are of less value to me than they would be to a team that is trying to win immediately, you know, which would include the Heat if we're going to make this deal for Carmelo. Mm-hmm. And I think that they would be very useful to you. And if you would like them, I'm willing to discuss that as well. And I, you know, would even be interested in taking back guys who, you know, their contracts expire at the end of the 2017-18 season, or, you know, if they have non-guaranteed money like Wayne Ellington. You know, if Josh McRoberts agrees to opt into his $6 million player option, that's a player I'd be willing to take back in unloading those kind of contracts as well. So that's sort of my goals there. You know, the cap relief is something that can come just via, you know, unloading Carmelo's contract, or by getting rid of, you know, longer term players who I think are valuable but are of less value to me than they would be to you.
Okay.
Well, I think we've got a pretty good first deal. Wes, you want to go into the details?
So we haven't talked about this player, but hear me out. Chris Bosh for Carmelo Anthony straight up. And here's why.
I'm going to go ahead and say no.
It doesn't
accomplish any of the three goals that I would like to accomplish with this trade.
Just to talk about Bosh, though.
Yes. I love Chris Bosh. Okay. I couldn't like be a bigger fan.
So
personally,
Bosh, if you get Bosh, worst case scenario is he never plays a game for you. And a year from now, so a year has passed since he last played a game for the Heat. Miami is going to just waive him outright this year, and they're going to have cap relief due to a CBA fun little CBA rule. if we trade Bosch to the Knicks, he would have to sit out a full calendar year again before you guys could waive him. So worst case scenario is you have Bosch on your books for a year and you're able to waive him. If he does play, well then you get Chris Bosch and he's playing for you, which is huge. And a healthy Chris Bosch, I would argue, is a better player than Carmelo Anthony. And
I would agree with that.
So you get a healthy Chris Bosch who fits perfectly along with Kristaps Porzingis. Bosch could play center for you, and he can mentor Porzingis, and he's really cool. And having a cool guy like that in New York sounds like a lot of fun. Plus, if Phil Jackson's going to be there, Chris Bosch could play the triangle because he's great in that triple threat position. So Bosch works in a lot of ways. And again, worst case scenario, you just waive him and get cap relief in a year.
That's right. Good point. You're saving $20-something million just by taking a salary. I mean, it's basically the same length of time as Carmelo's deal. So if you do wind up waiving him, you're saving yourself $20 million in a couple of seasons. Or if he winds up playing, you get a better player overall that fits that system. So it's a win-win for New York.
And of course, there's the addition by subtraction. You lose Melo, the ball's in Porzingis' hands more.
I see several issues with this trade. First of all, I can't see really any way a doctor clears Chris Bosch to play at this point. You know, like you said, it's been over a year. You know, his condition. If there was going to be doctors that were going to clear him, if there were doctors that felt it was medically safe, Bosch would have found them and gotten them to clear him to play for the Heat. I'm not confident at all that it's going to happen for any team in the future. As much as that, you know, personally upsets me as a person, you know, I'm the same person that wrote last year that Chris Bosch, if he never plays again, belongs in the Hall of Fame, and I still believe that. And I agree with you 100%. That, you know, when healthy, he's a better player, you know, to my mind, than Carmelo, certainly than the Carmelo we saw this year, you know, when Bosch is fully healthy. But I don't believe that he's ever going to play again. And to just get cap relief a year from now when, you know, Carmelo could very well opt out of his contract at the end of the year anyway, that's not at all really worth it to me for that specific deal. And like I said up front, the things that I'm looking for, you know, it's three prongs for me. It's cap relief, it's young players with potential to, you know, to be, you know, star, substar, superstar, whatever it is, and it's draft picks. And straight up Carmelo for Bosch swap doesn't accomplish any of those three things for me.
Would you be willing to take players that accomplish one of those other three boxes for you along with Bosch, or is getting Bosch just not a thing that you want to deal with? The reason I ask is for salary matching purposes. They actually match up really well.
Yeah, if it's for salary matching purposes, like if you're taking other contracts off my hands in addition to Carmelo, you know, depending how, you know, the overall money worked out in the end, then yes, I would be willing to take back that contract. But it would have to be, you know, a deal that makes sense for me on the levels before, you know, Bosch's salary matching purposes, you know, came into it. So it would have to be a situation where, say, you know, I got Justice Winslow and, you know, you took back a couple of my role players and I got a first round pick somehow out of this deal, and maybe take back, you know, the contracts like, you know, Josh McRoberts opts into his deal. I take back Wayne Ellington's non-guaranteed contract, you know, something along those lines.
Well,
you know, just as an example.
Okay. Just to point out, though, I mean, just I don't want to keep harping on this, but when Winslow's defense might be a little overrated, you know, that small sample size that we saw this season, he took a significant step back. He didn't necessarily
stay. If you don't like him, then I'll just take him for free.
Well, I mean, I'm not saying that. I'm just telling you, I don't know that you want to necessarily limit any deal to the inclusion of Justice Winslow. You don't know exactly what you're getting. I don't think anybody knows what we're getting. And he's already had a number of injuries in his second year.
I don't think it's a sure thing at all.
Okay.
I don't think it's a sure thing at all, like you mentioned. But, you know, I do want to get, like I mentioned, young players, you know, with the potential to get a lot better and to potentially be a building block. And, you know, to me, he seems like the most likely guy on the team to do that. You know, maybe you're willing to change my mind otherwise on a Josh Richardson or a Tyler Johnson. But you know, to me, that seems to be where it goes. You know, did you have other players in mind in terms of that front?
Yeah. funny you should mention.
So I think we would be willing to take on the contract of Courtney Lee, but Joakim Noah's contract is just too rich and too long.
That is not unexpected.
Okay. So, if we're talking of, so we're talking about salary matching. And it's worth just saying again, we'd like to trade a first round pick. We can't unless we agree on, like you said earlier, we'll select at number 14. When, if and when we select at 14, there's still a 0.5% chance that we end up with the first pick in the draft, just saying. But if you have a counteroffer, because we offered with Bosch straight up.
Yeah, I actually do have a counteroffer, and my counteroffer includes Chris Bosch, and it includes Courtney Lee. So it's Carmelo and Courtney Lee, and I will take on Chris Bosch's salary, like you mentioned. I will expect that Josh McRoberts opts into his contract. I will take on the non-guaranteed contract of Wayne Ellington, and I will ask for Justice Winslow, Josh Richardson, and your first-round pick.
Ooh, that's a lot to give up, and that depletes our bench completely.
You're also getting a very good starting shooting guard in Courtney Lee.
We are getting a shooting guard in Courtney Lee. That's for sure.
You're getting a 3-and-D shooting a low usage 3-and-D shooting guard that would be a very good fit next to Carmelo and Goran Dragic, because he doesn't use a lot of possessions, but he spaces the floor very well, and he can guard multiple positions. And that's exactly the kind of guy you need between two, you know, offense centric. And Dragic is a pretty good defender, but still two offense-centric players that are going to have the ball a lot. I think he would make a lot of sense as your shooting guard there. And I'm willfully taking on that that Bosch contract to clear a whole bunch of salary off your books.
Knicks GM, Jared, would you mind like muting your phone for a second or whatever the opposite of that is so you can't hear us? Because my co-GM and I have to have a side conversation, if you don't mind.
Yeah, that's... That's fine. Okay. You can figure out some way to contact me to let me know to get back on the line.
We'll send a pigeon or something. So, David, do we think that Courtney Lee is any better than Ronnie Magruder at this stage?
No, I would say he's probably worse. I think he's older. He's been around for a long time and hasn't necessarily made any kind of a significant imprint or had any kind of significant growth over the last few seasons. We know what we're getting out of Lee, but we don't know what we're getting out of Magruder, who's shown improvement throughout the year and started to develop a little bit of some playmaking ability. So I think Magruder is clearly the better fit.
At less than a tenth of the contract that Lee would be making.
Sure, there's that too, yeah. Mm.
Are we willing to take on Lee? I think that might be too much to give up for all those young players to just get Carmelo Anthony, basically, because as we decided, we don't think Courtney Lee is much of an upgrade at all. He might be a starter in this lineup.
I'd veto that trade.
All right. We send the pigeon, Jared.
I have returned.
Okay. So,
good to see you guys.
We respectfully decline that offer. We think that we have a player in Ronnie Magruder that we feel really comfortable with, actually in that starting unit that you talked about. But put Magruder in Courtney Lee's place at less than a tenth of what Lee is set to make next season and in the 2 years after that. We're comfortable with Magruder. But we're not against taking Courtney Lee. It's just, it's not really an asset. I think we feel the only thing we're getting in this trade is Carmelo Anthony. And to give away Bosch and McRoberts isn't bad. That's essentially cap relief for us. Wayne Ellington's still a really nice player. He's a better three-point shooter than Courtney Lee. We actually like how he's progressed defensively, and we like having him at half the price of Courtney Lee. But it's still, that's not what breaks the deal. Winslow, Josh Richardson, and our 14th pick, that's a lot of young players to give up. We would counteroffer, I think, with Bosch, our selection at 14, Tyler Johnson and McRoberts. And we left out Tyler Johnson on our first trade, and I know he'd have to waive his no trade clause, and there's a 15% kicker that is worth disclosing here. But if we can get him to do that, then you're getting somebody who could play point guard for you, or be your third guard off the bench, and has improved his shooting from has increased his scoring by 5 points between years two and three, and is only getting better.
Yeah, without a doubt. You know, there were durability questions because of his size, but I think he put those to rest last year. There were moments there where he was Miami's best player on the floor. He developed chemistry with both starting unit and as a reserve, fit in really nicely with James Johnson there as well. And spaced the floor really, really well. You know, he has incredible athleticism, has the ability to handle the ball, like I said. And there were moments there, Wes and I talked about it on a number of occasions, where he stepped up as Miami's closer at a point in time when Miami was lacking a closer because Dwayne Wade had obviously migrated towards Chicago. We wondered who would step up for the Heat. And often that role fell to Tyler, who handled it very admirably. Even as we were in a late season playoff push, he was knocking down clutch shots and free throws. He's a really capable, versatile player. And I think for the money that he's making, not just this season, but beyond, I think he's a really great fit for New York and a kind of player that you can totally build on.
Yeah, I'm potentially interested in Tyler Johnson. I like him a lot as a player. I think he can play, you know, to a certain extent, both guard spots. And that's something I'm interested in as I'm looking at point guards and other kinds of wings in this year's draft. My concern with this is that I actually add salary in this deal because of, you know, I would not be able to immediately waive Bosch's contract, like you mentioned. It also, if we're going to make it before the, actually we can't make it before the draft because you guys can't trade your pick until the start of the league year. So that the fact that it actually doesn't work under the cap actually doesn't matter because we'd be making it, you know, with both of us using cap space, I guess, or at least me using cap space. I would be renouncing my rights to, you know, Derrick Rose and having cap space. But you know, it does cut into my cap space pretty significantly by about $10 million or so. And that's not necessarily something I'm comfortable with. So I would try to, you know, unload some salary as well. And, you know, hopefully, you know, since I'd be giving back, because I really only have guys on longer term contracts other than Joakim Noah that are useful players, I would try to get, you know, some future picks out of that as well. But I know all of your second rounders for like the next 25 years don't exist, and you can't trade another first until 2023. So I think we might have to tweak it in some other way somehow.
What if instead of Tyler Johnson, you take Josh Richardson? His contract is much lower. You're not worrying about the third and fourth year increases in Tyler Johnson's deal. You get Josh Richardson in a very real at that second round rookie wage salary, and I'm not sure how that works into your salary cap, but
yeah, it works into the salary cap. You know, I would still be taking on a little bit more money for next year, but the issue there is that I think Johnson's a better player, and that was why I had, you know, Richardson and Winslow in the previous deal, was because, you know, I viewed Richardson not as necessarily as high a ceiling player. And for me, this would basically just be getting, you know, Josh Richardson and your first round pick for Carmelo, which is not something that I think I can do. This does seem to be a little bit of a sticking point. You know, are you more attached to Richardson than you are to Johnson? Like, if we took the previous deal and made it Johnson, Richardson, and the first instead of or Johnson, Winslow, or Johnson, Richardson, some combination of the two or two of the three with the first round pick rather than just one. Is that something you'd be comfortable with?
So that would be Johnson and Richardson, presumably, with a first round pick and in exchange for Chris Bosh in exchange for Carmelo and Courtney Lee. Basically what we're talking about? And McRoberts, okay.
Yeah, it would be Bosh, McRoberts, Johnson, Richardson, and your first round pick for Carmelo and Courtney Lee.
Yeah, that seems a little too much. I think that pleats our young guard.
Are you more interested in, say, Lance Thomas and Kyle O'Quinn instead of Courtney Lee?
No, I don't think so.
part of the benefit of trying to attract a guy like Carmelo onto our team is because I think we'll, and adding Courtney Lee, is because we can move on from having to re-sign Deion Waiters this summer. As much as we like Deion and everything he was able to do this past season, if we can get a guy like Courtney Lee who can fill a similar role, not necessarily as the same kind of playmaker, but
positionally.
Positionally. And then, you know, we can re-sign James Johnson. So I think that adding any kind of front court depth like Lance Thomas wouldn't necessarily help in that regard. So
the problem with this trade, I think, is that in Miami's case, having Carmelo Anthony is valuable, and that it still maintains the basic core of Dragic, Whiteside, and Carmelo Anthony. And you get a nice veteran player in Courtney Lee. And so there's the makings of the team there, and Miami would have enough cap space to get James Johnson at a low ball offer. James Johnson probably could take more money elsewhere, but we know how fond James Johnson is of playing in Miami. We are confident that we can get him to re-sign, and we can always let Wayne Ellington go because his contract next year is non-guaranteed, and we can have a little bit more ammo to offer James Johnson if that's necessary. The problem is that we're giving up the 14th pick in this draft. We're not getting any draft picks in return, and we're letting a lot of our young players go. So Miami has no way of really replenishing or acquiring.
What
young
if
players
I was willing to? What if I was willing to add in future second round picks so that you do have ways to add young, cost controlled talent in the future?
That would be a good conversation to have. So future for second round picks, including what?
So for example, I don't have any 2018 second round picks. My own second round pick is going out this year, and I have Chicago and Houston's second round picks. And then in 2019, my own second round pick is going out, but I have the two least favorite. Well, let's just say I have Cleveland and Houston's second round picks in 2019, because Orlando is not going to be better than either of them. So I would be willing to give you, say, Houston's second round pick this year, and then the more favorable of Cleveland and Houston's second round picks in 2019.
I think it's worth entertaining the possibility of making one of those second round picks a first round pick, because to be honest with you, that's the kind of level of talent you're getting in Josh Richardson. Even though he was drafted in the second round, he's somebody that was high on Miami's draft list for a long time. You know, he was a 4-year player. He's complete. He's not one of these kinds of players like you'd get with a first round pick that would still take years to develop. With a guy like Josh, he's making an impact today, something you haven't had in New York in a long time, perhaps. So I think when you get a guy like Richardson, who's versatile as a defender and as a scorer, he can shoot from range. And yeah, you look at his numbers last season in his second year, maybe they weren't as great as they were during his rookie campaign. But the reality is he was battling some injury. He was trying to figure out his fit on a team that was changing almost every other day. But towards the end of the season, once he understood his role, he became a very, very useful part of that late season push there. And a big reason why Miami was able to go 30-11 as opposed to 11-30 when they started off the year, when he was injured for most of the time. So, I think making Josh Richardson and seeing his value as a first round or somebody that you could include as a first round pick eventually, I think it would behoove you to consider that.
Yeah, that's not something I am particularly willing to consider. With the direction my team is going to be going with this trade, I'm going to be, rebuilding over the next few years. And the Knicks have a very long history of throwing first round picks into trades for no reason. But I am not those Knicks general managers, and I will not be throwing first round picks into trades. I have included 2 second round picks. I think that, the Heat have done a good job with second round picks. Pat Riley has done a good job. I think you guys can do a good job as well. And, to me, that's as far as I'm willing to go with draft picks. I'm not going to be including my first rounders in a potential deal, because I need them in order to build a team. Because after this trade, I'm going to have, Josh Richardson, Tyler Johnson, Kristaps Porzingis, and nothing else. I got to keep my picks so I can figure out some other talented players to get on the team.
But you will have salary cap space though, and you'll be able to attack free agents there.
I actually, like I mentioned, I will not be. I'm going to have basically the same amount of salary cap space this year as I would, you know, in this version of the deal, as I would if I didn't make a Carmelo trade, because I can't waive Bosch's salary right away.
And, yeah, but you're thinking you're thinking short term, Jared. We're trying to help.
That's
your
what
team.
I'm mentioning is with the direction we're going, we're not trying to necessarily sign big time free agents this season.
Right. Which is not what we're talking about. We're talking about you giving away a first-round pick in a couple of years. And by that point, that first-round pick is going to be stashed on the bench. He's not going to be playing much. And you're going to have free agents that you can add to a team that's already building on the core of Porzingis, Johnson, and Richardson.
The plan is to have those first-round picks so we can supplement the stars that we signed for literally the first time ever in free agency, because the Knicks never actually get their top target in free agency. Agency, but I'm going to do it because I'm better than those GMs. We need the first round picks to supplement those stars, because what you need around star players is cost controlled young talent. Sure. And, you know, we need first round picks to keep around Kristaps Porzingis when he goes from making, you know, $6 or $7 million a year to suddenly making $25 or $30 million a year. So that's not really something that that we can entertain in terms of trading future firsts. And that was why we were willing to throw in 2 second rounders as opposed to just one.
So rather,
it just
than
seems like a waste, you know, to kind of have a deal kind of hinge on your failing to include a late first round pick, because you're going to be so much better next season and beyond that.
Yeah, we're not confident that that's true. We're pretty comfortable saying that we're engaging on a multi-year rebuilding project, and we're okay if we're not that good next season. And
what about
if we get
a highly
a little bit better?
What about a highly protected pick, top 20 protected, that if it doesn't convert in the year we agree to, turns into a second round pick the following season? I don't know if that's even possible because you owe so many picks outgoing.
Yeah, the problem is that our own picks are the ones that that are going out. And we wouldn't be able to say, right, you know, our top 18 protected or our top 20 protected 2019 first rounder. And then if it doesn't convey, then you get our 2020 second rounder, because our 2020 second rounder is already going out to Philly.
Okay. So instead of the Houston pick, what if we did the more favorable of the 2019 pick and the Chicago pick? Chicago's pick will be a couple picks better than Houston. And
yeah, let me,
that's close enough.
I'm going to the NBA draft order here and seeing how much higher that pick is, because I believe that Houston's is in the late 50s. And Chicago is Houston's second rounder is 58, and the one we're getting from Chicago is 44. So that's, you know, 14 picks earlier in the second round. That's a pretty significant difference. You look at the history of 58, you're really not getting anything at all in terms of what, you know, we're looking at in terms of our players there, and we're much more comfortable keeping that that 44th pick. We feel we can get a significantly better player there. And since, you know, we are rebuilding, we do need to keep our powder for those any earlier picks in the draft possible. You know, would you be more comfortable taking the two 2019 picks instead? You know, there's a chance that by then, you know, Houston or Cleveland will have broken up, and, you know, maybe one of those picks will be even earlier than the 58th pick this year. Mm. I would imagine one or both would be earlier than 58.
Sure.
It's, you know, as pretty much as late as it gets. You know, I don't think Cleveland, for example, is going to be the third best team in the league in 2019.
I think the problem with not getting a pick in the 2017 is that this is obviously a deep draft class that we like. And if we're giving you the 14th pick in the draft, then we're not selecting anywhere in this class. So, and we're giving up so many young players in this potential trade that we would need to have a pick in this draft. So right now, the skeleton of this deal that we're potentially talking about is Chris Bosh, the 14th pick, Tyler Johnson, Josh Richardson, and Josh McRoberts in exchange for Carmelo Anthony, Courtney Lee, Houston's 2017 second-round pick, and the more favorable 2019 pick.
Of Cleveland and Houston, yes.
Correct, of Cleveland.
Because we're assuming that Orlando is going to be still bad.
I think
if Orlando is
assuming that.
I mean, if Orlando's one of the picks we get, you can have that one too.
Well, you know, we know exactly. We know their plans because we've seen their whiteboards. Yeah. So,
luckily, this
is a podcast, and nobody can hear our see our whiteboards. But do you mind if I have another sidebar with my co-GM really quick?
You can go ahead and have a sidebar. I promise I will not listen.
All right, David. I think we got him on the ropes. We got him right where we want him. If we did this trade, Melo and Courtney Lee for those two second-round picks, we're not missing Bosch. We're not missing McRoberts. So Tyler Johnson, Josh Richardson, and the 14th pick to compete in the next 2 years. What do you think?
It sounds good.
I think we could do a lot with those second-round picks, too, to be honest.
I'm sure we can, but I'm sure we could budge and get them to budge on the earlier of the second-round picks, and I'm much more willing to make that deal.
I don't think that they're going to veto this trade just for that second-round pick. So we say we agree as long as we get the Chicago pick over the Houston pick, we got a deal?
I think so.
All right. Pigeons out to New York.
I'm here, and I didn't hear anything you talked about.
Good.
Excellent.
The plan is perfect. So
we wouldn't want to accuse your front office of tampering or anything like that. So.
so we've come to a conclusion here, and this is – the ball is going to be in your court, so to speak. We're willing to agree to the parameters of the deal that we discussed. Chris Bosch, Josh McRoberts, Tyler Johnson, Josh Richardson, and we will pick for you at 14. In exchange for Carmelo Anthony, Courtney Lee, the more favorable of the Cleveland and Houston pick in 2019. The only thing is, we want that Chicago pick to get this thing done, and that's going to be non-negotiable. And if not, then we're not going to be able to do anything.
That is, as I said, a difficult ask for me. I'm not comfortable swapping the 44th pick for the 58th pick without getting something else in return.
Okay. Isaiah Thomas was picked at 60. Just saying.
I'm well aware of that, as you are well aware as well. That is the extreme, extreme rarity. Mm. That's why you're able to rattle off Isaiah Thomas off the top of your head and no other, 58 through 60 picks in the draft, other than I know you're going to bring out Manu Ginobili. But, that's why we can bring up those two examples off the top of our head, because that's not something that generally happens. If you are willing to throw in, let's say, your 2022 and 2023 second round picks, then I'm willing to make that swap.
What about the 2022 pick?
As in just 2022?
Yeah. I don't think 2023 is a year that will ever happen anyway.
I'm going to insist on the 2023 since I'm giving you 14 picks in what is a very, very deep draft, and we don't know anything about the 2022 or 2023 drafts, what they're going to look like. I think that's a deal you can make.
Yeah. I think if we were to make a deal, that's what it would look like.
I think it is too. So let's go back and review here. This is going to be Carmelo Anthony, Courtney Lee, the 44th pick in this year's draft, and the more favorable of Cleveland and Houston's second-round picks in 2019 in exchange for the contract of Chris Bosch, the contract of Josh McRoberts after he agrees to opt into his deal, Tyler Johnson, Josh Richardson, the 14th pick in this year's draft, and the Heat's 2022 and 2023 second-round picks. Guys, how do you feel that you did in this deal?
I mean, I'm upset that we didn't find a way to shoehorn Willie Hernan Gomez in, but otherwise, I feel that it's a fair enough trade. Borderline blockbuster for the names that are involved, but it's something that can mix up the Eastern Conference quite a bit. It's exciting for the league. It's exciting for our fans. And I think we're comfortable keeping the core of Whiteside, Dragic, and Melo in place. I think we have enough cap space to re-sign one or two of our key free agents. Maybe not Deion Waiters, but we maybe be able to bring back some other guys that could be key role players and reserves for us. So I can't speak for David, but I'm comfortable with it.
Well, the Matt the key will still be under the mat for Chris Bosch when whenever he wants it. You know, we feel terrible that we had to move on from Chris's wonderful contributions during the Big Three era as part of our championship level of success. As for Tyler, he was a young player that we felt comfortable we could build around for years to come, and we hate to see him go, but we're also confident that he's going to be a contributing factor for New York's future success. It's tough to see those guys leave. I think we're getting two quality players that we can, you know, continue to add to the steps that we took this year. I think Courtney Lee is a versatile scorer and defender who will fit in very nicely here. And as far as Carmelo is concerned, a superstar level talent that I think fits in pretty well as well. We know how to make the most of superstars. We know how to get them to take another step in their development. And at 32, there's still room for Carmelo to grow. And I think he's going to fit in just fine with Miami.
Yeah, I think I agree with all of that from your perspective. You know, from ours, we don't add salary cap space this year, but we do add, you know, a pretty decent chunk the following season when Bosch, you know, we medically waive him, and when McRoberts comes off the books, although I imagine we'll be waiving McRoberts after the All-Star break so that he could find a playoff team to sit on their bench for the rest of the year. We're excited about adding two guards that have played defense at one point in time in their lives. You know, and two guards that can play either guard spot. You know, for us, that's pretty important because our guard depth is basically non-existent right now. Obviously, excited about adding a first round pick this year as well. It was not easy to give up that 44th pick in this year's draft. I think that's going to be a good player, and I'm sorry that I did that. But I think it's possible that you guys are pretty bad in 2022 and 2023. So I'm okay taking your second rounders in that year because it's possible they could wind up even better than 44 in one or both years. You know, the thing to me is I don't think I did quite as well with you guys as I did with the Lakers. You know, I got Julius Randle there, who I think maybe has a higher ceiling than either Johnson or Richardson, even if it might be more likely that, say, you know, Johnson is a better player. And I got Jordan Clarkson there as well. It was sort of a similar thing with, you know, one guy with a bigger contract, one guy with a smaller contract. Mm-hmm. You know, and Johnson does make, you know, more money the year after next and the year after that than he does next season. And that's something that's going to eat into our space a little bit. But we do clear off a bunch of money, like I said. You know, Lee's contract, he's making almost as much during those couple of years as Johnson will. So, you know, it's not too much salary that we added to the books during that time. And we think Johnson will get better, whereas Lee is likely to decline. And I'm very excited to take a look at Josh Richardson for, I believe, next year and the year after as well, you know, under his team option for the next 2 years. And, you know, that first round pick, you know, to have two picks in this year's lottery. Hey, if your pick wins the lottery, all of a sudden I got the first pick in the draft for Carmelo Anthony. So
good point.
That works out nicely.
There is a chance. And
even if it's 14, you know, I'm okay having two picks in this year's lottery.
Right. So you would of the picks that of the packages you got from us and the packages you got from the Lakers, you would take the Lakers?
I think I might still take the Lakers pick just because, you know, I got two first round picks from them. I got Houston's first rounder this year and the Lakers' first rounder in 2019 or 2020, depending on what happens with them in this year's lottery, you know, whether they have to surrender their pick to the Sixers or not. If they do have to surrender it, then they also surrender, or sorry, it was 2020 or 2021. Cause if they have to surrender their pick this year, then they also have to surrender their 2019 pick to the Magic, which means that I would get their 2021 first rounder. If they don't surrender their pick to Philly this year, that means they give up next year's pick, but the first rounder that they owe to Orlando becomes a second, which means I can get their 2020 first. So, you know, getting two first rounders plus Randle and Clarkson, I think is a little bit of a better deal for me, even though I do get a pick that's 13 picks earlier this year, most likely, than the one that I'm getting from them.
I like Randle a lot as a player. I don't know, David, we came to this happy ending and this conclusion of this is what the trade would look like. But I think David and I, if based on conversations we've had on Locked On Heat before, we're probably not, if this was the trade, we'd probably just say nah and just re-sign James Johnson and Deion Waiters, right?
Yeah, I think that's the case. I mean, I'm not sure. Giving up Tyler is tough because he has shown growth. And the reality is that he's getting paid a lot over the next couple of seasons. Well, not this season upcoming, but the following two after that. But there is also concerns about his health. Whatever I might have said to GM Dubin prior is probably out the door. He's probably going to break down at some point over the next couple of seasons, considering the veracity with which he throws himself around the floor. And he's shown a willingness to play through injury, but he also has shown an ability to pick up injury quite frequently. So there's a good chance you'll be paying $20 million for a guy who's hobbling on one leg in 2 years.
Yeah, we're already doing that. So we're okay with adding another one. Like I said, we don't expect to be very good over these next couple of years anyway. And, you know, let's say he does break down, you know. Okay, so we got a 25-year-old guy that's broken down. How is that any worse than having a 34-year-old guy that's broken down?
Oh, yeah.
In Joakim Noah. And like I said, I think he only makes around $4 or $5 million more over the final 2 years of that deal than Courtney Lee does, and we expect that we'll be able to add some nice young pieces between now and then, especially because, you know, even in those couple of years, we're still going to be paying Kristaps like less than $7.5 million a year, and we feel very comfortable with that value. And we're going to be paying Hernan Gomez only $1.5 million a year that season and $1.7 million the following season. So we're going to get those two guys for a combined like $9 million in 2019-20. So, you know, and the rest of our books, other than that, the only contracts we're going to have on the books are Noah, Tyler Johnson, and the first round picks we make between now and then. Everybody else comes off the books. So I'm okay having, you know, possibly, you know, another $18 or $19 million that is not 100% desirable, especially because I think Tyler Johnson's a good player and I think he'll be valuable for us playing both guard spots.
Is Hernan Gomez a legitimate building block in your opinion?
I'm not sure he's a building block. I think he's a nice player. Okay. I think that he's going to be one of these style centers where, you know, he is a capable starter that plays 20 to 25 minutes a night, mostly in big lineups, though sometimes as the only big guy on the floor, depending on what we do with him and Kristaps. But they work really well together. They're best friends. I didn't want to split them up at all. That's not something that I really would have been willing to include in the deal. Like, they are legitimately their best friends. They played together in Spain. They, you know, roomed together. I believe they roomed together on the road. I could be wrong about that. But I know they're very, very close and have been for a long time. I wouldn't have wanted to split them up. And I think that, you know, in terms of offense-only centers, he's a pretty good one. And his defense was much better than expected this year. Like, I expected that his defense was, like, going to make him unplayable. And that not only didn't happen, he was below average, certainly, but not so much so that you couldn't keep him on the floor. And that was unexpected, and it was a very pleasant development. And that makes me feel really good about, you know, the way he can develop over the next couple of years. You know, if he approaches average defensively, then all of a sudden that contract is already a steal. Like I said, we're going to pay him, $4.6 million combined over the next three seasons, maybe closer to 4.7 based on like the 10,000s of contracts in there. But that's nothing. Like, we're going to pay Kyle O'Quinn that much in 2 years, for one season. And we're going to get Hernan Gomez for that much for 3 years. I think that's a really good deal for us.
So the Knicks obviously on this deal end up rebuilding. I want to know what you think about our starting unit, Jared. We've got Goran Dragic, Courtney Lee, Carmelo Anthony. We're hoping to re-sign James Johnson and Hassan Whiteside. We have. And we didn't get rid of Winslow. We still have Justice Winslow now coming off the bench for us as our sixth man. Where do you think that ranks in the East?
Yeah, I guess it sort of depends on what else happens elsewhere in the East. You know, I think Washington still has a really good starting lineup. Boston is going to have a good starting lineup, whether they trade for one of these guys or draft one of these guys or not. Cleveland's obviously is very good. It depends who Toronto brings back. But I think, you know, I think those four are sort of entrenched, but I would struggle to find a team before the Heat and after that. You know, just off the top of my head, I'd have to go back and look through. But, you know, I would imagine Atlanta's going to see some upheaval this offseason. You know, I'm not sure Milwaukee's starting lineup is up to that snuff yet. Indiana, don't get me started on them. Chicago, you know, certainly the Knicks are not going to have as good of a starting lineup. I really like the way Carmelo fits there, though, because with James Johnson and with Winslow, you can have him guard the less threatening offensive front court player literally at all times when he's on the court, whether that's a wing or it's a power forward. And that's really, really key with Carmelo. And, you know, because you have such a good pick and roll game with Dragic and Whiteside, you can turn him into a 3-point sniper that's more of a catch and shoot guy. You know, you got to convince him to do that. And I'm not 100% sure he'll be able to. You know, he's never been willing to defer to a point guard that wasn't like an all-time legend. Right. So who knows if Dragic will meet his standards of a guy he's willing to let have the ball more often than not. You know, you'll have to get him to do that. And, you know, you guys aren't Pat Riley, but I have confidence that you'll be able to do it.
Well, we've got Eric Spoelstra as our coach, and we have all the confidence in the world in him.
I wonder what LeBron told Carmelo about Spo to get him to agree to a trade to Miami, where none of his friends play.
That's the big sticking point, right?
Yeah.
Who knows? Those conversations are always held in secret. Unless, of course, they're broadcast on uninterrupted.
How do you guys feel about the future of my Knicks? You know, I'll be building around, like I said, Kristaps and Hernan Gomez and Richardson and Johnson and my own first-round pick this year, which looks like it's going to be in the top 7 or 8 or so. Your first-round pick as well, most likely the 14th pick. I think an 0.5% chance of moving up, something like that. Mm-hmm. You know, and then all of my first-round picks going forward and clean books pretty much after 2 years from now.
Yes.
I mean, it's positive, right? But it's still too nebulous. I mean, I mean, at least from my perspective, it's just – although you'll have those assets in place there, I mean, I just don't know that you'll necessarily have the kind of leadership either from coaching or from the front office to make the most of those. I mean,
whoa. Damn. This is not Phil Jackson's front office, okay?
I'm sorry.
I'm steering the ship around here.
Who's your coach, GM Dubin?
I'm going to hire one of the guys from Twitter.
They're really good at coaching. You should just hire Twitter to coach. And just
I'm
going to
hire
it.
Twitter as my head coach. I know Dwayne Casey mentioned that, I think, last year. I'm going to let Jeff Hornacek run an offense that's not the triangle.
Okay.
And see how that works for at least a year.
I actually like the deal. You look at the three anchors on your books. It was Carmelo Anthony, Joakim Noah, and Courtney Lee. You got rid of two of them. And that's really strong. And I'm actually a fan of Carmelo Anthony. I think that he will play a lot better in Miami, but and that situation he was in New York was toxic. But you know, there is an addition by subtraction element to this. You know, you're able to rebuild around Kristaps Porzingis. That there is certainly value just within that, and you get a bunch of young players, and you get two lottery picks this year. And as much of a joke as the Knicks have been the last several years, they've drafted pretty well. You know, maybe it's luck that the 76ers took Okafor over Porzingis. But the Knicks still took Porzingis, and that wasn't a guarantee right. That he was going to be like the fourth pick. A lot of people had Justice Winslow slotted at number 4 and Porzingis falling in the draft. So yeah.
There were a lot of Frank Kaminsky rumors as well.
Yeah.
And Kaminsky turned himself into a player, you know, during this season, sure. I think. But I think, you know, pretty much everybody – maybe other than Frank Kaminsky's parents, would rather have Kristaps. And you know, I think I left myself with still some tradable assets to further rebuild as well. You know, I think Lance Thomas is a valuable player, and I'll be able to get something for him if I include him in a trade. And Kyle O'Quinn as well. He's only making $4 million each of the next two seasons.
That's a good value back up center there.
I think, yeah, that's a pretty good value there. And Lance Thomas for, you know, $13 million combined over the next 2 years, you know, with a non-guaranteed third year for $7.5 million as well. I think I can get something for, you know, potentially I could package that together. Maybe I could trade each of them for something else. You know, I didn't leave the cupboard dry if I want to make other moves. And, you know, if I just trade Lance Thomas, then the financials in 2018-19 are a wash for me. So, you know, I will have created cap space, you know, out of thin air.
Very good.
All right. Well, thank you guys for doing this. I really appreciate it. You know, like I mentioned, I think I did a little bit better with the Lakers pick. But, you know, the idea here is that I have to come to an agreement on deals with whoever I bring on the podcast. And this was the one we came to with you guys.
Has Locked On Celtics called you back yet? Or
Locked On Celtics has not called me back. I'm in discussions with Locked On Clippers and Locked On Cavs and Locked On Bulls when their respective playoff runs end, and those podcasts will be coming in the future. The Celtics still aren't returning my calls, not surprisingly, because they are they're pretending that they're Danny Ainge instead of pretending that they're themselves. Guys, thank you so much for doing this. I really appreciate it. I know we tried to get it going for like a week or so, and we finally were able to do it. Do you have anything before I let you go that you want to plug?
Just listen to Locked On Heat. I mean, that's what I want to plug.
Yeah, all the Knicks fans are definitely going to listen to Locked On Heat. I think that's definitely going to happen.
There's a lot of there's a lot of Pat Riley talk. There's a lot of Deion Waiters talk.
Doing an upcoming episode breaking down paragraph by paragraph the Wright Thompson piece and going into great detail about how lucky we are to have Riley and how much better of a person and GM he's become ever since he's left the Big Apple, et cetera. So make sure to tune in for those.
Yeah, that definitely seems like a good place to end it. Guys, check out the podcast at Locked On Knicks on Twitter, LockedOnKnicks@gmail.com. I'm on Twitter at JADubin5. We're going to do a couple more of these, like I mentioned, throughout the offseason. And I'm going to start getting into some draft prospect breakdowns as well. I'm working on arranging those. And thanks again for listening. Much appreciated.